This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to another week of Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy as we host a radio show designed to highlight what God is doing in Western New York and throughout the Buffalo region. God is a God of mission. God is a God on the move. And hopefully over the weeks and months now that Christ Together Radio has been broadcasting on WDCX every Sunday at 11 a.m., you've been able to experience and hear and maybe even pray for and become a part of some of the ministries that we've highlighted over the months, Ryan. It's been interesting. Meeting people from all walks of life, and we are getting some feedback from those who have began to think about things a little differently, maybe broader than their current context of ministry, and that's been very encouraging. This week, before we start, we should do this every week, but this week, just with the craziness of the seasons, I'd like to begin with prayer, I'll just lead us in prayer, and then we'll get right into talking with Al and Deb Warner, who will be our guest this week. So, God, we're grateful that you are a God of mission, that you are a God who moves, and you're never still, and it's up to us to find out where you're moving, Lord, and to get underneath of that, and to begin with prayer and just seeking you. And Lord, as there are so many great ministries and great works that you are doing in the Buffalo area, we just want to be a part of your work and your mission. There are people, and no matter how Buffalo grows and the renaissance that is happening around us, Lord, we're so thankful for that. But there are still people who are hurting, who we come in contact with directly or indirectly every day. And we just pray for them even now. We pray for as we even had a show, just about those orphans and people who need help, Lord. There's orphans and widows that you've asked us to pray for and care for. So we pray for them today, especially with a new year and new beginnings. We just, Lord, ask that you would work in lives and you would give us opportunities to share you, both personally, Lord, and corporately as your church, that we would share your gospel and your mission and your forever plan that you have for people's lives. Bless our conversation today, Lord, and just be with us, and that many would be touched through the work that you will do in your name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Ryan, Al and Deb Warner are joining us today.
Yeah.
I don't mean to talk about them like they're not in the room.
But yeah. Well, these are stalwarts in our faith community. They've been laboring for a number of years here in Western New York, and so I feel like one of the things that's really important is there is a general sense of excitement and encouragement toward some momentum that's happening in the region. But that being said, while that excitement is there, it's also been paved by faithful saints who have labored hard for years before that excitement really was there. And I really feel like Deb and Al are a couple of folks that that represent that, who have been faithful to serve even before the idea of this conversation about a renaissance in Western New York happening. Yeah. They were slugging it out, and they continue to remain faithful to the Lord and to serving this greater Western New York community. So it's really fun to have them in studio today.
Yeah, there's a short list of names who have been around a long time. I'm not saying you're old guys. I'm just saying you just there's a short list of names that we've known for a long time in Western New York, and they're obviously two of the names that come to mind is the long journey it's almost like seeing the promised land finally and actually getting to go in and not having to wait on the outside. So this is Christ Together Radio. We're going to be back in just a minute. We're going to begin our conversation with Al and Deb Warner right here in Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy also hosting today. We'll be back right after this.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brett Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, hosting today with Ryan Cozy on Christ Together Radio. Ryan is the Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel at Cross Point and also involved in directing the Christ Together efforts here in Western New York, and kind of a jack of all trades. Ryan, it seems like you have lots of jobs.
and not My wife time. Agrees.
Yes. Well, Ryan, we're excited today. I know, and a lot of your work has brought you working hand in hand and closely with people in our region, and Al and Deb Warner are two of those people who you've worked closely with. So I'm just excited to hear maybe the beginnings of their story. We don't often hear people's personal stories as much as we should. So I'm just excited to hear from them today.
Yeah. Deb, Al, welcome to the studio.
Yeah. Thank you.
Would love it for our listening audience, just if you could all give us a perspective of just your years of ministry here in Western New York, the starting point, and just leading up into today, we'd love to hear a little bit more about your story.
Well, as all stories, you think it's about a destination. You find out it's about a journey, and oftentimes the journey is far longer and more involved than you think it's going to be over time. And the Lord turns out to be faithful, even when you can't see the finish line and it appears that he moved it.
Hmm.
I think one thing Deb and I have learned over the years is that the things God calls us to, for at least for us, take longer, look different, tend to change us in the process as much as we think we're going to change the world and change others around us. And that's been sort of the upside-down kingdom kind of God that we serve and follow. I was born in Binghamton, so part of this greater New York State area. Grew up in a farm, a rural kid, which is great training to change cities, growing up as a farm kid. Lots of rural agrarians in the Bible would probably agree with that. God said to Adam, take care of the garden. You've got shepherds. You've got all kinds of people involved in God's kingdom that are surprised by the experience that they have. So came out of that, felt called to missions. Deb and I did home service in a church back in the late 70s in a very rural church, no running water, an outhouse, rural church outside Poughkeepsie, and which is great training for urban ministries around the world. And out of that experience, ended up having a great church experience there, headed off and did Master of Divinity in Urban Studies in Chicago under Dr. Ray Bakke in the middle 80s, and then headed to Hong Kong expecting to be lifetime career missionaries there. Mm-hmm. After the birth of our son in Hong Kong, Deb got really sick, near unto death sick, and we had to come home on emergency medical leave. Little did we know on the journey in Chicago as we worked under a Puerto Rican pastor and his wife, in Hong Kong as we worked under a Chinese pastor, then in Buffalo, eventually, as we worked under Bishop Troy Bronner, that God was preparing us to be able to understand what it's like to come and serve another man's vision, and in this case, people of color and their vision. Hmm. And that's been sort of the journey that God's brought us on in terms of set free and what I think God's called us to do and to serve in Western New York, the leadership here.
Yeah.
It's been a journey.
Yeah. And when did that start here in Western New York for you?
We moved here in 1989 to plant a church in East Aurora.
Hmm. Now, Deb and Al, for our listening audience, a lot of how I've begun interacting with you all has dealt with just getting more involved in an urban context. And so, for those of that are listening around it, to our audience, we've got a broad swath of folks listening from different cities. And so, Buffalo is one of those cities in particular that, in the years that you've been serving here, it is a Rust Belt town. And yes, there's a transformative element that's happening. But give us a sense for what it has been like for you all to labor in an urban context over the years. I know that you've talked a little bit about serving another person's vision, in particular a person of color. I think that's a very profound statement. Can you unpack that for folks listening in their car or at home?
Yeah, so if you go into any country culture around the world, you'll find that there is a majority culture, and then there may be a single or multiple minority cultures. And most of the power and access to power is located in the majority culture. That'd be true in China, Brazil, any nation of the world, and ours as well. But God has set it up so that the leaders that he calls to be servant leaders, to come alongside and even at times to come under. And learning how to do that when, as a white guy, a white couple from a majority culture, God's given us the unusual experience, unusual ability to develop not just working relationships, but friendships. And, you know, I think that maybe this one of the secrets we could miss with Jesus is he gets 12 guys and goes on a sandal dusty journey with them for 3 years. And I think on good, bad, and ugly days, they were building relationships. Mm. And I think sometimes we think we go to a conference, we want instant success. Just add water and it's fully baked and we pop it in the microwave with instantaneous results. My experience is that God uses the crock pot slow cooker more often than the microwave.
Yeah, First Thessalonians 2 and verse 8 is a verse that I've really leaned on. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives as well. And I think that's really the secret. The secret isn't just to share the message, but to share your life, to love and love and love. And I think being pushed into different cultures, we learn to love it in a different way. You know, you have to be vulnerable. You have to be true to yourself. But I don't know. We got to know people deeper because of having been in so many different cultural experiences, I think.
Yeah. One of the things that's really interesting for me is, again, as I become more and more familiar with all of the region of Western New York, and in particular the urban context, it feels like whatever event I end up showing up to, it could be a ribbon-cutting ceremony, it could be a prayer initiative, it could be the launch of a plant or a joint venture with other faith-based groups. If I was a betting person, I would bet that Deb and Al Warner would be there. And, I mean, 10 times out of 10, I'm right.
Yeah.
How is it? Like, what? Tell us a little bit about that. It feels like the Lord has given you favor to be in a variety of contexts in and throughout the region, that whether it's in serving through prayer or serving through other forms of action, mobilization, God has you there. Tell us a little bit about that.
So Deb mentioned the pastoral ministry had in East Aurora from 89 to 96. That wrapped up, and we thought we'd be moving out of the area, had some
we
opportunities.
We wanted to move out of the
area. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a plug for moving to Western New York.
Get out of here. Where's the Chamber of Commerce when you need them?
Yeah, right.
And expected that to happen. We'd build a new home in East Aurora, and as it delayed selling, it gave the Lord opportunity to be able to say, your next call is actually to the same region you've been in. And that was pretty shocking to both Deb and I in all kinds of ways. So in 1998, we ended up moving from East Aurora into Buffalo. And
God had put it on our heart. The whole thing, somebody told me to write it down, mm-hmm. was to see multi-race, multi-denominations come together and see the power of God show up. And I really didn't know what that would look like. People would say, well, how are you going to do that? We said, I don't know. You know, and sometimes when God gives you a call or a mission that's so intense and so strong, you can't deny it. And even when people want you to explain, you know, what is it that you're going to do? I don't understand. And we were hearing God and following a call.
We got involved with Bishop Troy Bronner, the early morning prayer movement that was happening to begin with at Calvary Baptist and continued under his leadership. And you know, up in the middle of the night, early morning, 5 a.m., 6 a.m. prayer, and saw
with
people
with 500
gathered.
Other people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. with hundreds. It was just an awesome prayer outpouring. In 1999, we had a special speaker coming in, and we were going to host him in a number of different churches, some predominantly inner-city black, others suburban, predominantly white, 5 different churches and 5 nights. And he asked us if we could get some prayer going as we were taking on those strongholds of racial division here. And so we brought some pastors together in 1999. And now, 2016, almost 17, that group has kept meeting every week. So we've got pastors praying. In direct answer to your question, Ryan, about why we're at events that seem to be non-church related, non-churchy kinds of events, like ribbon cuttings at hotels and all kinds mm-hmm. of other things. That pastor's prayer group, we began to work and build bridges into business leaders, educators, political leaders. And every so often we'd invite them to come and we'd pray over them as pastors and just seek God with them for their assignment, what it was that they were called to do. And the Lord began to make it clear to me that these that he was rising up in what we might call the secular sphere. I wouldn't say that. I would say they're workplace ministers, that they've got an assignment just as much as a pulpit minister does. Mm-hmm. It's just their assignment is in a different venue. And as God was raising them up, the Lord said to me, these people are feet to your prayers, but now you've got to be covering to their feet. And the idea was that birthing things in Western New York has not happened for a few decades. We've been a place where entrepreneurs haven't really been received well, and these creative entrepreneurs that God was raising up needed continued prayer, so we began to build those kind of intentional relationships into servant leaders God was raising up in lots of spheres of our society, because if Buffalo's going to resurrect, it's going to have to be more than just full pews. There's going to have to be job creation. There's going to have to be schooling that works. There's going to have to be healthy families. There's so many dynamics that need to come together. And as we were watching all that begin to happen, I remember I was at a ribbon cutting at Martin Luther King Park, and there were three cement trucks that were parked there that had just finished pouring pads. And the Lord said, I'm answering your prayers in concrete ways.
An interesting, an interesting affirmation for that was 16 years to the exact date of when we started Pastor's Prayer. We sat at the ribbon cutting for the new Marriott at the Harbor Center. And, I mean, we were just amazed over looking back over 16 years. It was just, it was like a hug from heaven that you know, you did well, you did right. That on the exact date that we started, it's been a long journey.
You know, it's interesting. I think about just some of the observations. Like, I've had a chance to observe some of these interactions over the past handful of years. And, you know, one thing that I would want our listening audience to know is that there have been times where I've been at some of these ceremonies and just observing, just looking and trying to understand, because I'm new to this, this whole process. I've only been at the chapel now for coming up on 8 years, but really getting more engaged in an urban environment just because of my upbringing and my passion for that only for the last 3 years. But there have been times where I've been at these environments and just observing the room, and I can look and see Deb and Al, and there are times where there are no words. Like, they are just overwhelmed with emotion about what God has done. And what I get a sense of in that is that, one, these are faithful laborers of the gospel. But number two, they are they're good examples for those that are up and coming, you know, and trying to, like, wow, what's my roadmap for trying to make a difference in a city? And to go, well, whatever it is that they've been doing, to have that sort of an emotion because God came through. I think that's what it is. Like, I sense them. The release of their excitement of God came through. And sometimes the only way that you can respond to that is to be very emotional.
Absolutely.
And I watch that and go, okay, Lord, in my lifetime, would you allow me to have moments like that? Because, you know, again, this idea of every man, woman, and child having repeated opportunities to hear, to see, and to respond to the gospel, it may seem like a very new thing to a lot of people, and there's a general level of excitement for it, and I'm excited about that. But the opportunity to have a discussion like that has been paved by faithful men and women who for years have been laboring toward this. And I just feel just very thankful to be in relationship with Deb and Al.
It is interesting, Ryan. And maybe we can take some time in our next segment. We're going to go to a break in just a minute here. But before we do, it's interesting to watch the long road. And I wrote something about that not too long ago, about the value of the long road, and that in our generation, it's rare. You know, even in corporate context, the idea, if you want to advance corporately, it's, if you're in that world, you know that you have to bounce. Typically staying in one organization the whole time is going to pigeonhole you. You have to bounce and move, and it's all about movement, momentum. And the value of the long road is kind of lost in our society. But it's I think you said earlier, Reverend Al, that the crockpot mentality of God likes to work in long roads. I mean, look at Moses in 40-year segments. He worked. And so there's just growing up in the area and having been, like, literally born here. And, you know, I left for about 6 years and came back. That's otherwise my whole life's been here, and I've watched the long road of some of the people, and to watch some of this happen Remembering from when I was a kid, there's a lot of value there. There's a lot of lesson to be learned, and maybe we can touch on that in just a minute. You're listening to Christ Together Radio. If you want to catch up on our past episodes, go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs, and go down to Christ Together Radio, and you'll see an archive of, I guess you call them podcasts or webcasts of our past programs, and you can listen to those and maybe catch up on what else we've talked about here. We're talking with Al and Deb Warner today, and we're going to be continuing our discussion in just a minute. And for the next couple of weeks, you'll be able to listen to what God is doing through them and their ministry and through their prayer and as they have walked the long road. We'll be back in just a minute.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy. We're hosting today and every week here at 11 a.m. on WDCX as we discuss what God is doing as we follow Christ together in Western New York. And we join him on mission to see every man, woman, and child have repeated opportunities to both hear and see in action the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we've brought to you every week different people from different ministries, and it's amazing the breadth of God's church and how he uses those of us from all walks of life to accomplish his mission, whether they be Dr. Ryan Cozy, PhD in
something
that your dad affirmed.
Yes.
And on to just everyday people who are being called out of their everyday job to serve him, and God uses people and to accomplish his mission. He chooses to use us in that way, and we're just all honored to serve him in what we do. Today we're talking with Al and Deb Warner, two who have answered the call of God for Western New York many times over, as we'll discuss in a minute, as God has continued to affirm what he has for them. And we began talking about, before the break, the value of the long road and the value of the stick-to-itiveness, I guess, of just following what God has for you. And when you have a certain calling or a certain even just a certain inkling that he wants you where you are and to be laboring where you are, that sometimes it's not as easy as it sounds. And Al, maybe you could just talk about that for just a minute, just how over the years, you may have wondered or even questioned, is this going to happen, what you've called me to do, and what that felt like?
Yeah, I some of the listeners might be familiar with HBO did a series years ago called Band of Brothers, and mm-hmm. the idea was that where warfare can take people from very different backgrounds and bond them for a common goal. And I believe that's sort of the call of God on his church, is that the battle cry of warfare would be an incredible uniting factor on this journey. But anything that the enemy values is going to be costly to take mm-hmm. for the king of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. There's no cheap way in. There's no easy, quick fix. This is embattled. And when you look at a city like Buffalo, at a pinnacle 100-plus years ago, most millionaires per capita of any city in North America at that point 100 years ago, mm-hmm. sixth largest city in North America 100 years ago, a mm-hmm. Place of grain distribution, grain elevators, milling out of all the grains coming in from the Midwest on the barges up through the Great Lakes. Industry, and a city that the City of Lights in the Pan American Exposition was shown off to the world. Mm-hmm. Then a city that crashed and burned as St. Lawrence Seaways built, and pollution and Love Canal and all kinds of other things, and steel industry goes overseas, and jobs are lost, and 75,000 jobs lost in three employers pulling out. Mm-hmm. And the residue that happens, and what happens to a city, we use the scripture about hope deferred and what it does to the heart as it grows sick. But what happens if hope deferred isn't just over an individual, but over a city, mm-hmm. over a region? What happens when hope deferred becomes the norm, and not just from the secular, but from those in sacred leadership. Mm-hmm. And they're as hope deferred as anybody that they're trying to minister to. And suddenly, from the top to the bottom, a city itself begins to believe, as the sign put up at outside City Hall 20 years ago said, "Will the last person out of Buffalo turn off the lights?" Mm. Now, what happens when that settles over a city and they start expecting the absolute worst? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're not in for the long haul, the long road, mm-hmm. I mean, the Bible is all about people that are called, usually in really bad times, mm-hmm. to hear God's word and then to declare it. And they were to declare it from the palace down. I mean, every part of society was to be impacted. But the call oftentimes took longer, was more costly, because when the Band of Brothers has that hill to take, that assignment is going to be that it's going to involve. Isaiah says it interestingly in Isaiah 43, "Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." So God says that sometimes my memory paralyzes me from seeing his new thing. Mm-hmm. So I can be living in the past, hope deferred, when God wants me to be in a season of hope fulfilled. My eyes simply don't recognize it. And part of the reason that I think Christianity is best played as a team sport, it's not golf or tennis, it's football or baseball, is because the teammates with me on the journey help on the long road. Mm-hmm. You know, they did an interview with a couple who'd been married 75 years and on television recently. And the question was asked, "How did you do it for 75 years? The wife answered, "We didn't fall out of love the same day."
Well, that's great.
Well, when you're with a band of brothers and sisters on the journey, it isn't that you don't fall out of love. You just don't do it on the same day.
Yeah.
And that's what keeps us going. The long road to me isn't a long road. So if you picture a long road, you see through your eyes a very long road laid out in front of you. Maybe you've got trees on the side. Maybe it's during the day. Maybe it's at dusk, and you see that long road. But if you don't look to the right and see brothers and sisters, and to the left and see brothers and sisters, you think it's a long road that you're walking alone.
Yeah.
Mm. You're not just walking it with Jesus, so you know you've got one with you on the road. Mm-hmm. You're walking it, if you're walking it in community, mm-hmm. you're walking it with other people who are saying to you, "Yeah, that road's long." There's a quote up in one of the boardrooms that we work in that says, "If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together."
Yeah,
yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, that's. I think that's at the medical campus.
It is.
You know, it's funny. So I should preface this with, I'm from Cleveland. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think this carries a lot of weight.
Cleveland rocks.
Yes, this carries a lot of weight. Coming back to Buffalo in 2005 for graduate school, I really observed at that moment, I felt like Buffalo was the most psychologically defeated city I'd ever lived in.
Yeah.
And I'm from Cleveland.
More than Cleveland?
I'm from Cleveland.
You have the Browns.
I'm from Cleveland. And I felt like I could literally hear people like I overheard a couple one time. Mm-hmm. We're in a grocery store. And the lady comes up to a clerk and she goes, "I mean, there's like 20 aisles of food, right? You don't have any mustard, do you?" And I'm like, "Lady, we're in a grocery store. This is where you come to get mustard."
There's like shelves of mustard.
But there's, you know, there's times like if you listen closely, there are folks that have been.
They start with the negative.
They're just so worn down. And I'm from a city that has experienced quite a bit of exodus, quite a bit of heartbreak, right? But within that, you know, just it gives people an understanding that if you're not from here and you're listening to this, like this is the sort of soil that you labor in.
Right.
And so to see some of the fruit that's coming in this process has been very exciting. In the break, I talked about, you know, hey, talking about your points of frustration. Mm-hmm. And Deb kind of giggled. You said, you know, "Oh, we've quit multiple times."
Yeah.
And so can you, I mean, just again, the listener here, not knowing all that you've worked on and labored toward, how do you handle those points of frustration and give us some insight into how difficult this has been over the years?
Well, of course, Psalm 30 says, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning." And I don't think you can endure the long road. mm-hmm. unless you really expect something at the end of the road. Mm-hmm. And there've been times we've sat down with people and said, "We're quitting. Yeah. We're quitting." And they don't believe us. They say, "You guys are the cheerleaders. You can't quit."
Yeah.
And they don't understand what happens at night in our home or when Al and I are having those heart to heart talks and saying, you know, is it going to work? Is what we're doing even worthwhile? Because I think there were so many pieces to the puzzle that we had to put together that I don't think we could even begin to see how the pieces would fit together. You know, mm-hmm. I could talk about, you know, when President Clinton came in the 1990s and the whole audit, the arena was full of course people to see the president, mm-hmm. and we were invited as intercessors and we went I was taking pictures and I said to Al, I said, "Someday this place is going to be filled with Christians." And so the day, how many years later, in 2013, when the place was full, of course, I wept for the first half hour.
I think that was one of the times I observed going, I don't know what's going on with those two, but God is clearly answering some prayer.
But
13,000 people, Good Friday together. But again, it was a very long road to get there.
People talk
about overnight success. I found that overnight success takes on average about 40 or 50 years, I think. It's a long overnight. Joy comes
night.
In the morning. It's a very long night.
Yeah.
But you have to have expected. And tell them what the Bible says about how long, you know, soon.
Oh, yeah. I read somebody had done some work on the Bible. They said, on average, when the Bible uses the word soon or suddenly, it took just over 30 years for that to be happening. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're right on target.
And we have quit several times. I think every time that we thought this is it, we would walk into a pastor's mm-hmm. office and maybe a check was written or maybe, you know, something God would bring somebody along to stand with us because mm-hmm. he knew what our call was, mm-hmm. and he wasn't going to let us go beyond, you know, what we could handle.
The amazing thing is, I think as you talk to leaders, people who have done something, whether it be Walt Disney to you know, a CEO today or a pastor who's working with 50 people, is they've probably all quit many times, mm-hmm. because anything worth doing is really difficult and really hard. And, you know, this is obviously a worthwhile cause as we work together to transform a city. Mm-hmm. You know, not just economically and not just, you know, on paper, but also as we transform a city for the gospel.
Yeah.
Ryan, and that's what's been cool about watching, and maybe we can transition here in just a few minutes into as we go on after the next break, to talk about the Renaissance of Buffalo not just being about dollars and not just being about brick and mortar buildings being put up and industry beginning to develop in the medical community and research community, but also how the church has been an integral part of this. And so I think it's interesting because, especially from my context, as we have listeners even right now working for so many years in Buffalo and Toronto, and the two cities could not be more different.
Or more like Hamilton.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, we have Hamilton listeners too, right?
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm kidding.
I love this place.
No, it's very true. It's very true. We're more like that. And in Toronto, just to watch the economic development, which is honestly, to be quite frank with you, saved this radio station, the city of Toronto. We're thankful for it. We're thankful that we cover it, because we wouldn't have it in Buffalo if it weren't for such a large and strong economic city as Toronto. Yeah. But to watch the two over the years, it's been almost depressing in a way. It's like I so want the economic influence and thriving of Toronto for Buffalo. But what's unique about Buffalo is what is happening has been slow, but it's been valuable from the church perspective. And maybe we can talk about, and Ryan, and all three of you in this room are very involved in that world. And so we can maybe hit on that in a few minutes as we continue to talk. But Ryan, maybe just give me, we have about 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
From your perspective, coming from Cleveland to Buffalo, and the 8 years or so you've been here, more than that, probably, more but than, like yeah. 11. Yeah. What you've seen just in that short time.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly the vibrancy of transformation in the city has been an overwhelming thing. So I lived here for 10 years prior to leaving and going back to Ohio, the place of my birth. But, mm-hmm. You know, I remember coming back and seeing a crane in the air in Buffalo for the first time, where I literally could go back to 1985 and go, I've never seen a crane
right
in a skyline in right. Buffalo. I've yeah. never seen it. And my, you know, my father worked at DuPont on Buffalo Avenue mm-hmm. in the fall. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I drove Chemical Row every morning dropping my old man off to Ooh. Work. And, you know, you go down those streets long mm-hmm. enough, it just wears on you.
Sure
and,
it does.
And there just doesn't sense, you know, you don't sense a glimmer of hope when Love Canal is in your backyard.
Right.
But all of a sudden, you know, like one crane turned into four or five cranes. And then next thing you know, like, nobody wanted to hang out around Main Street and Best and Main Street and Sumner. Like, this was not anything that people really wanted to do. And then all of a sudden, there's these cranes in the air all around the medical campus. Now, and it creates points of tension, and we should talk about that.
Sure.
Because it's not just a renaissance where it's not without discussion. You know, mm-hmm. and I think that that's part of how God has brought Al and Deb and myself into some very meaningful conversations that help our brothers and sisters of color. I think it should shed light on that. But, you know, it's incredibly encouraging, and my hope is that it will affect all of Buffalo, not just the waterfront. Not just the village, that it would affect all of Buffalo, and that the church would be an integral part of that happening.
Mm-hmm. So. That's for sure. Listening to Christ Together Radio, we'll be back in just a minute. If you're interested in knowing more about our program or past programs, go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs, scroll down to Christ Together Radio, and you can find our past episodes there. I'm Brett Larson, Ryan Cozy hosting. We're with Alan Deb Warner. We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy as we host every week, every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on WDCX. And also you can check us out online at WDCXradio.com. Go to Programs and click on Christ Together Radio. You can also email us your questions, or if something on the show piques your interest and you want to ask a question to today, Alan Deb Warner, or any other guest we've had, shoot us an email. We'll track them down and ask and forward. There's always that forward button that we can send on for you. And if you have a question or something you're interested in knowing more about or becoming a part of, please let us know. Alan Deb Warner joining us in studio today as we talk about what God is doing through Buffalo and through their work with Set Free. And in the break, we discussed briefly, Al, you were beginning to talk about points. You know, there are negative points and positive points about what is happening in an area. And maybe you can just expand on that for us.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Disney earlier. One of mm-hmm. my favorite quotes from Disney is actually, you know, Walt dreamt Disney World and blueprints and construction and groundbreaking, but then he died before it was complete. And so true stories told of the president of Disney Institute who's standing at the ribbon cutting. Walt's gone, and standing next to him is a reporter for a major newspaper. And she says, "Isn't it a shame Walt couldn't have seen this?" And he said, "If Walt hadn't seen it, we wouldn't be standing here." Hmm. So a program about Alan Deb Warner would be incredibly inappropriate if we didn't remember a whole lot of Walt Disney's who saw this long before we ever showed up mm-hmm. on the scene. Mm-hmm. Deb and I have just plugged into lots of incredible, deep faith leaders, deep prayer warriors, intercessors, some who've already gone on to glory, some who've moved some other place. But, man, we are building on prayers that have been filling intercession bowls for a long, long time. And, you know, I think of the people, you know, Bishop Tommy Reed, you know, 84 years old, and some of the listeners in this area will know him. we've got so many like him. I think of what Pastor Gillison is doing. I think about we've got so many great leaders in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. This is so much bigger than us, mm-hmm. and bigger than any one person. I think maybe God made part of the secret I think God did in all of this was to make sure that when things go bad, no one person can get all the blame, and when they go well, nobody can take all the glory. That's the team sport idea here. There's so many people that are part of this, and your listening audience, as they listen in, your prayers are not without power and influence and impact. You make a difference. Prayer changes things. Mm-hmm. In the book that Pastor Reed asked me to co-write with him, Create Wealth to Build God's Dream, he says if God is going to impact a city, there are going to be multiple points of God encounter. He calls them upper rooms. Like the upper room of prayer, there's upper rooms of encounter. A city doesn't just turn around because we elect a good mayor. Mm-hmm. It happens because God hears the cries, the tears, the fasting, the prayers of his people, and heaven responds and pours itself out on a city. I think sometimes Ezekiel 37, the story of the dead, dry, disconnected bones, I sometimes use the phrase, for God, deader is better. Mm-hmm. Deader is better. He actually wants to wait until things really die because you don't get a resurrection without a good death. You got to have a really solid death. So, like, he gets the word that Lazarus isn't feeling well and he needs to get there. And he goes, oh, no. Don't want to get there. We need to wait until he's smelly.
Yeah.
You know, we really want, because deader's better. God gets the glory. So, in Buffalo, you sort of contrasted Buffalo and Toronto.
Yeah.
The deadness of Buffalo gives pause for great testimony to the glory of our God.
That's correct. Yeah.
But the question I would ask of Toronto listeners is this. So what's the church's role to play in a city like Toronto?
Mm-hmm.
There's not a single city in the world where God doesn't call his church to be salt and light, to be influencers of change, to hear heaven and its purposes, and then help raise up leaders on earth to follow those purposes out. The wonderful success of Toronto, the wonderful blessing of Toronto, gives the church there its own assignment. It's not a Xerox copy of Buffalo, but it's as specific for that city as for any city on earth.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was invited to give a lecture at Tyndale Seminary up in Toronto, and it's fascinating to see how the church looks incredibly different in Toronto. They have a full MDiv program that you cannot participate in unless you're fluent in Mandarin. Why? Because Chinese Christians are huge influencers in a world city like Toronto. Mm-hmm. And so they're looking at folks that have a heartbeat, a kingdom-minded heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And God is bringing Chinese people to Jesus in large number. And so the seminaries, like Tyndale, are going, okay, these are the people that God is moving in and through. Our school, our seminary must be positioned for the training and the equipping of these folks to do the work of the ministry, that Ephesians 4:12 mindset. And I remember walking away from that time and go, man, you know, I can't give a lecture like this unless I'm in New York or L.A. or Toronto or Hong Kong or Beijing. I mean, it literally was one of those world city moments where I thought, I'm so thankful to be here. But you're right, Al. You know, yes, there are the deader the better, but even in cities of life and vibrancy, there are places where God's people must be that Matthew 7 salt and light
Absolutely.
Of the gospel.
And the cool thing about Tyndale, I've worked with them for 20 years, and I'm the whitest dude there. I've been there hundreds of times, and I typically look around and go, yeah, I'm pretty much a minority here, and that's really cool.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah. You know, Al, you had talked about signs of hope that you taught a class, actually, as a professor or an instructor through Niagara University on the Buffalo Medical Campus.
Correct.
And you had said that you start each of those classes with signs of hope. Talk with us a little bit more about that.
Well, one of the dangers is that in a city that has experienced decades of lack and scarcity of resources and hemorrhaging of population, dropping half our population in just over 50 years. In those kind of contexts, the conversations often start with everything we've lost. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of community grief almost.
Yeah.
So all the people that used to work at Bethlehem Steel have those stories. All the people that have kids who went away to college only to then take better jobs in the South and West.
Absolutely.
And it just goes, those conversations just keep on happening. Losing football teams, bad blizzard winters, it just goes on and on and on. And the idea then is that we focus on what we don't have. We focus on what we lost. And those conversations put that hope-deferred spirit deep into the inner man. Mm-hmm. So I'm one of the roles I have is chaplain of the Buffalo Common Council, our city council here in Buffalo. And I was walking the halls of City Hall and ran into one of the council members. We have nine from nine different districts. And I started to ask him a question. I said, and as I was asking the question, it was interesting because I wasn't quite sure what question I was going to ask. So I started by saying, I have a question. And I was waiting for God to then tell me what the question was about to be. But I figured he would or I'd look stupid. You know, one of the two is going to happen.
See, I always end up on the stupid end.
And in City Hall, there are times I've looked quite stupid, actually. So foolish for the gospel, that's I right. hope. So the question that formed was this. I said, if the downtown district where, Ryan, you said the cranes have gone up, yeah. if that is the heart that's beginning to beat in a body, a city that's resurrecting, one of the signs of hope and life would be that there would be blood pumped not just to the heart but to the extremities. If something's going to resurrect and come back to life, it can't just be a heart that beats. The fingers have to begin to move, the toes, the extremities. I said, you know, you are your assignment is one of the council districts furthest from downtown. What are the signs of hope and life in your district? And I was like, wow. It was a question that as I ask it and the Lord sort of put the words in my mouth, I was thinking, I'm excited to hear his answer. He perked up, put a smile on his face and said, a school that's been abandoned for 17 years, we're just rehabbing now for veterans housing. Going to be awesome. Back in use first time in 17 years. Love to have you come. Walked across the hall to a second council member and asked her the same question. She said, building that was abandoned X number of years ago is going to be used for condos, and I'm doing a walkthrough tomorrow. Would you like to join me? And by the time I finished with the nine council members, I had a list now of, for each of them, the signs of hope and life, and this is what I found, that leaders in the city oftentimes came together around the problems in their districts, but seldom came together around the signs of hope and life. Mm-hmm. And what you're looking for, you'll find. Mm-hmm. Looking for problems? Trust yep. me, you'll find them.
Yep.
If you're looking for some signs of hope and life, you'll find them. But yep. it's what you're looking for that you'll find. And so I then wrote a sheet of paper down and started passing it out to all the council members of the signs of hope and life each was picking. And then they began to contest with me, and I had to limit them to three signs of hope and life because it was just a single sheet of paper.
Right.
They were starting to dominate the conversation, and it changed the way they talked. So the principle that I learned from that is a principle not just for City Hall. That's a principle in church, in school, in the class that I just taught, Rebuilding the City for Niagara University. How do you start conversations with asking people to intentionally talk about the signs of hope and life? Because when you find the signs of hope and life, you find God.
Mm-hmm.
God is the giver of life. Mm-hmm. So as you're beginning to look for those, you'll find them. And as you do, hope fulfilled begins to displace hope deferred.
Yeah. That's powerful.
That's really, really, really good. And it's so true just in life. We're talking in, obviously in a city context, in a very broad community context. But, you know, we have listeners out there right now who are maybe going through a difficult time or who are depressed or, you know, it's winter, so things aren't as sunshiny and fun in Buffalo.
Things get very gray this time.
They
do. It looks like a sci-fi film for the next 3 months.
You said something very key there. You'll find what you're looking for.
Absolutely.
And if you want to look at your life and think, oh, this didn't happen, or my plan for this didn't happen, or God didn't do this in my life, you'll find it. You'll find it because every one of us, including the very most successful, the Pastor Jerry Gillis's of the chapel, the largest church in the area, I guarantee you if Jerry looked hard enough in his life, he'd have disappointed himself in some way, probably whatever, whether it be he didn't, you know, make the professional baseball team or whatever, you know, or Ryan, you know, with a PhD and blah, 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 you know, I could have done this. I should have done that. You can always find what you're looking for. Mm. But ultimately, God finds us, doesn't he? And he the glory in that is that no matter what happens in our lives, he's a God who wants to know us. He wants to be in relationship with us. And that's what we have to look for. Go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, you know, an interesting thing I come back to is earlier we talked about the long road. And I think that as you keep your hand on the plow, mm-hmm. you learn a lot about your Heavenly Father, number one. You discover a lot about yourself as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that, you know, you had used this example of, you know, if you want to move up the corporate ladder, you've got to bounce back and forth from position to position. To be honest, I don't know that there's a lot of time where you do a self-inventory and say, well, who am I? Mm-hmm. What am I really doing? And at the end of the day, I had a professor tell me this at UB when I was finishing up my doctoral work. He said, look, my job is to make you excellent at one or two things. I don't need you to be an expert in 15 things. You can be. Mm-hmm. You actually can't be an expert in 15 different disciplines in our field. You need to be an expert in one or two of them. And I feel like the long road, if you can embrace the reality that because the body is the most extensively used metaphor in the New Testament, mm-hmm. which I think is profound, mm-hmm. you realize what role you play in the body, and you go real deep in that. Mm-hmm. And you trust that God is going to bring the other part of the body alongside of the work that you're doing. And I think you discover a whole lot about your Heavenly Father. And I think your Heavenly Father helps you to discover a whole lot about yourself in the process. And I think he gets a lot of glory in that. Mm. It's not always the most glamorous headline reality of your life. If you're not bouncing from organization to organization for press releases and new positions, you may be a faithful servant. Mm-hmm. Who kept your head down for 30 years just following God's mm-hmm. lead. Mm-hmm. We need hundreds of people just like that in our region.
We do.
We do.
Yeah, and you know, we could talk a whole episode about this, so I don't even know if I want to get into this because we have a minute and 30 left, folks.
Next week.
But, you know, one of the issues we have, and Ryan, we've talked about it, is Facebook and Twitter and everything tells everybody a lie.
Yeah,
it's the greatest liar out there is that somehow you have to have a stage or you have to, you know, toot your horn in order to have an influence, and you don't.
Yeah.
You don't. You just need to walk that road that God has called you to walk and play the role that he's played you to role, whatever that might be, and watch him move in a region. Alan, Deb, thank you so much for all you do. And will you join us? You're going to join us next week on Christ Together Radio, and your website is setfreeinc.org. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So it's setfreeinc, I-N-C, not I-N-K, like you write with, but Inc. Incorporated, setfreeinc.org. If you want to know more about what Al and Deb Warner are doing in the Buffalo, New York area and are doing for the kingdom of God, please go there. You can also, we haven't talked about it much, we'll talk about it next week, look at Al's book that he wrote with Bishop Tommy Reed called Create Wealth to Build God's Dream. That's also right on the front page there. I think you can click on it and you can get it there, right? You can buy it there. Mm-hmm. So that's the book that Al wrote. If you're interested in knowing more about what we've talked about today, go check my voice gate out there. go check that out at setfreeinc.org. This is Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson for Ryan Cozy. Ellen Deb, thank you for joining us today. Tune in next week, same time, same bat place. we'll be here at 11 a.m. on Sundays. Also, check us out online at WDCXradio.com, programs, Christ Together Radio, and you can find all our episodes there. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.